The New York Yankees wrapped up their first homestand of the year by taking 2 of 3 games against the Baltimore Orioles. We're going to recap the series and look ahead to the Yankees' first road trip of the year on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. The Yankees wrapped up their opening homestand, took 2 of 3 games from the Baltimore Orioles. I'm a little salty. I thought it should have been a sweep. However, the third game did not go in the Yankees' favor. We're going to break the entire series down for you and more on this brand new episode. And we're also going to look ahead to the Yankees' first road trip of the year, where they'll go to Tampa for a 3-game set, and then proceed to play the Blue Jays in Florida as kind of a rematch from the opening weekend of the Major League Baseball season. Now, before we get started and get into everything, a friendly reminder. You can follow us on social media. We are on all social media platforms. Find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account is at Nick Delahanty. You can find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And our Instagram account, which is located under Delahanty Media. Now, if you're new to our show, we thank you for taking some time to talk some Yankees baseball with us. If you're a returning member, you know the deal by now. Our show is available on all podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. Regardless of what podcasting platform you use, it is vital that you subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you get all the latest updates for the show. All our new shows get sent to your device, so it gives you a little bit of an upper hand. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. All feedback definitely goes a long way in helping our show. And if you want to check out more about our brand as a whole, go to DelahantyMedia.com. We have a lot of exciting things that are coming up over the next couple of weeks, and I'm excited to start announcing things. As you guys know, I am the owner of Delahanty Media, so I have been working diligently to add new content to our kind of brand here, and I'm excited to announce we have some things in the works that we've been working on. I'm very excited about that. I can't stress that enough, but stay tuned. An official announcement will be coming in the very near future with all of that. So make sure you're locked in, regardless of how you listen to our show. And if you want to listen on YouTube, we do put our audio version of the show on there as well. There are so many outlets to listen to our show. Use whichever one fits your needs best. Now, let's not waste any time and jump right into this series. Typical 3-game set against an American League East Division opponent. Obviously, you can't be too happy with how opening weekend went. The series didn't go as planned, obviously. So you hope that the Yankees' recent success against the Baltimore Orioles continues in this series. In Game 1, it was all Yankees from the start. Jordan Montgomery, I got to start there. He was incredible, absolutely incredible. 6 strong innings, only allowed 4 hits, 7 strikeouts. Looked really, and I mean really good. And for the Yankees, you have to just be excited with what Montgomery gave you, and you hope that he could be that reliable arm every fifth day or so to give you stable innings. We know the injury history. We know he's coming off the Tommy John surgery. But the Yankees do need him to be effective. And he showed flashes of how good he could be. It's just a matter of putting it all together. So this is a great, I mean great, building block for the Yankees to use moving forward. And hopefully Montgomery can continue this trend of being as good as he was in his first start of the year. Now, the offense was a little cold until the middle part of the game. The Yankees scored all 7 of their runs within a 3-inning span. Started off in the bottom half of the 4th inning. Aaron Judge hit a home run to right field. We're going to talk more about Judge in just a bit. Had a very interesting series, to say the least. He gets the Yankees on the board 1-0. Yankees do most of their damage in the 5th inning. They score a run on an Aaron Hicks bases-loaded walk, and then that was followed by an absolute moonshot from Giancarlo Stanton. 471 feet to be exact. Yankees take a commanding 6-0 lead. The next inning, DJ LeMahieu would single to right field, scoring Jay Bruce, and that was all you were going to get in this ball game. So the Yankees did their damage, got most of the damage off of 1 swing that came off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton. but it was more than enough to pick up the victory. Now, let's look at some of the standout performances offensively. Aaron Judge was 2-for-3 at the plate. He had 2 runs scored. You got to give Stanton his credit. He was 1-for-4 on the day. The average isn't necessarily there right now, but he did hit the home run, the big home run at that, because that really put the game out of reach. Yankees had a couple of guys with a hit apiece, but the Judge was the only one with multi-hits, 7 hits total. You know, it wasn't your best offensive performance, obviously, but the Yankees offense did enough at the right time. And you have to also remember, most of those runners that were on base were via walk when the Stanton home run occurred. You saw that, and we talked about Hicks walking with the bases loaded. So the Yankees took advantage of certain situations. They walked 7 times in the ballgame, so they were patient at the plate. Although the hits weren't necessarily there, only 7 total, like I said, you got to give them credit for getting on base via the walk and being patient enough at the plate to get some damage done. Now, Montgomery, we talked about, he was fantastic. 6 strong innings. He was followed by 2 strong innings from Sessa. After serving his 2-game suspension and then not pitching early on in the year, Aaron Boone wanted to get a roll. Does Chapman work? Other than walking a batter, Chapman struck out the side. Looked really solid. That splitter is filthy, absolutely filthy. So the Yankees pitching continues to be a strong point early on in the year, and the bats do enough to get them the win. Now, at the end of this game, the game was out of reach. It was a 7-run lead. Aaron Boone elected to put Mike Tauchman in the game in left field, moved over Clint Frazier to right, taking out Aaron Judge, and then Tyler Wade goes to shortstop for Gleyber Torres. Now, there's a lot of speculation about Judge, and we're going to talk about it, but it's important that we have the timeline here. Judge comes out of the game. He just says it's to get him rest, get the big fellow rest. But if you remember, dating back to the end of spring training, Judge was not in the lineup. They said he wasn't feeling well. Then on opening day, you saw him in the dugout. You see him with the little massage gun on his side. The Yankees trying to give him off days and DH days and getting him out of games early. So it is a bit of a concern, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but it goes with the timeline. So keep that in mind. Judge leaves this game early with Aaron Boone, what he called, as just to get him some extra rest. So the Yankees win game one. It really wasn't that much of a stressful, you know, game. It was one of the games that you can actually enjoy watching. There was no panic. There was no stress. It was basically out of reach the minute Stanton blasted that ball into the outfield seats. And you know what? You take that as a positive momentum booster as you head into the rest of the series. Game two of the series was all about Gerrit Cole. The Yankees ace, 7 strong innings of work, allowed just 4 hits, no runs, no walks, struck out 13 Orioles hitters, didn't even throw 100 pitches to get through 7 innings. He was fantastic. Cole became the first pitcher in Yankees history with 8-plus strikeouts, 5 hits or fewer, and 2 runs or fewer allowed in each of his first 2 games of a particular season. That's pretty impressive if you ask me. That's some pretty nice numbers there. But he wasn't done. Cole, with his 13 strikeout, no earned runs, no walk performance, becomes just the 6th pitcher in Yankee history to accomplish the feat. I'm going to give you some names. Ron Guidry did it in 84. John Candelaria did it in 88. David Wells back in 98. Mike Mussina did it twice. And Masahiro Tanaka accomplished the feat back in 2017. I had to hold myself up there a minute because I was close to saying 1917. But, you know, that would be really weird if Tanaka was pitching in 1917. So, you know, we got the right date, so we're good. But Cole, nonetheless, was unbelievable. Really good approach to the game. Yes, Kyle Higashioka caught him and, you know, the connection is there. You know, I don't want to read too much into that, but you have to make note of how good Cole was. And if you think that whoever's catching him is any indication, yes, it does play a factor, but Cole is just too good, regardless of who's catching. I think I could catch him, and the guy would still get outs. It's incredible just how good he is. And if he could continue pitching at this level, he's going to be in the mix for the Cy Young Award and most likely be a top candidate for that as well. Now let's get to the offensive side of things. We'll come back to the bullpen in just a moment. Yankees score their runs nice and early. Bottom of the 2nd inning, Jay Bruce hit a home run. I didn't think he was out. I thought it was a pop-out. He hits a home run to right field. His first as a Yankee puts the Bronx Bombers up 1-0. Bottom half of the 4th, LeMahieu grounds into a double play, scores a run. That was followed by a Judge RBI single to right field, which scored Urshela. Later on in the game, A Giancarlo Stanton double down the left field line, scored Gardner, and then Judge adds a 432-foot blast into the left field seats to score three more runs, puts the Yankees up 7-0. In what should have been a shutout, Lucas Licky, on the bad side of a bad call, ends up letting up a two-run homer to Ruiz. That's all the Orioles would get. 7-2 is your final. Now, offensively, the standout performers, Judge, 3-for-5. He was 5-for-8 in the series, had 4 RBIs in this one. You got 2 hits from Stanton. The Yankees got 11 hits total and only 6 strikeouts. They walked 5 times, struck out 6. So you have to be very happy with the number of strikeouts that they were so low, especially with this team. We know that they are very capable of striking out. It was just another game where the Yankees pitching did the job, and you got to give credit to Cole, obviously. Then you have Chad Green, who came in and pitched a really quick 8th inning, only needed 9 pitches to do so. And then Lecky comes in, and like I said, was on the bad side of a bad call first base, and then it ended up being that they scored runs on the Ruiz homer. Nonetheless, yes, you would have liked the shutout. Obviously, the Yankees pitching has been great, but the home run wasn't going to win the game, so you got to, I guess, live with it and take it as it goes. Now, in terms of lineup in this one, Aaron Hicks got the day off. He was struggling a little bit. Just seemed like the Yankees wanted to give him a day off. Brett Gardner was in the 3-hole in center field. Higashioka was the only other big change in the lineup as Gary Sanchez got the day off. It kind of just was fitting that Boone found the day off for Sanchez when Cole was on the mound. I'm not going to read too much into it. We'll see what happens in his next start, but you have to like what the two were able to do, and the two, I mean, Cole and Higashioka. Everything else is basically the same. Yankees continue to mix and match with guys, moving guys up and down the lineup. I think they're just trying to find the right recipe at this rate. So the good news is, through two games, your pitching's been great. Your starting pitching's been tremendous. You know, you get a great start out of Montgomery. You get a great start out of Cole. Saves the Yankees' bullpen, knowing that Jameson Taillon's making his first start in a very long time. We're going to get to that in a moment. But it saved the bullpen a little bit. Yankees coming fresh for Game 3. And you just have to hope that Game 3 goes in your favor. You get a sweep before heading on the road. Unfortunately, Game 3 was a bit of a headache. And I hate to call it a headache because, you know, I'm very happy baseball's back, obviously. And you guys know me. I love Yankees baseball. But it was a game that I feel deep down in my heart, and I know that people agree with me on this, that the New York Yankees should have won. There's a lot, and I mean a lot, to digest in this ballgame. But I want to start off with the pitching. I want to start off with Jameson Taillon. We all know the backstory. It's been well documented. We've talked about it on this show. The guy has battled through a lot. 2 Tommy John surgeries. Battled through cancer. This guy is a warrior. So to see him back on the mound, first of all, it's not a surprise because of what this guy has gone through. But he is just an incredible story. And he's one of those guys that you just, I feel like you root more for. You know, we don't know what to expect from him. We don't know if he's going to hold up. We don't know if the injury woes are going to really play a factor in his 2 years that he's under control with the Yankees. But what we do know is when he's healthy and when he's right, this guy has really good stuff and could really be an impactful pitcher on this Yankees team. Now, he goes 4 2/3. The Yankees elected not to let him finish up the 5th inning. He threw 74 pitches. I guess he had a strict pitch count there. Did strike out 7 batters. Did not walk anybody, which was good. The damage was done by 2 swings of the bat. In the 4th inning, Cedric Mullins hits a home run, followed by a Santander homer. That was all the damage that would be done against Taillon. He was that good. Yes. Was he tremendous? I wouldn't say he was tremendous. You know, he was good. He was solid. But I think that the Yankees needed a little more length moving forward before we could start saying he was tremendous. Now, Montgomery was tremendous. Cole was absolutely tremendous. I think that Jameson Taillon was good. And that's what I was expecting. I was expecting good out of him. With his start, similar to Cole, he became one of just 4 pitchers in Yankee history to strike out 7 and not walk anybody in their Yankees debut. Rich Beck did it in 1965, Masahiro Tanaka in 2014, and Luis Severino did it in 2015. So pretty impressive company there. a good start for Jameson Taillon. Was it enough? With the Yankees bullpen fresh, you can make the case that, you know, you'll take what you got out of him. But he was good. I'm looking for a little more length moving forward. I think that with the extended pitch count, we're going to see that even more so. All right, so I know I talked about the home runs in the fourth inning, but let's kind of catch you up on how the scoring actually played out. Aaron Hicks returned to the lineup. He hits an RBI single to center field in the third inning, puts the Yankees up 1-0. The two Orioles home runs put them up 2-1 in the fourth, and then we had nothing until the eighth inning. This is where the game gets interesting. Gary Sanchez hits a line drive to left field. Thinking that the ball gets caught, Gary stops running. Gary legitimately stops running. The left fielder drops the ball, or missed the ball, however you want to play it. The ball was missed. Gary could have easily been on second base if he hustles out of the box. He doesn't hustle out of the box. Costs the Yankees. Puts them on first base. Down a run, that could have been a huge factor in this game. Aaron Boone elects to pinch run Mike Tauchman, knowing that that run is so important. Gio Urshela comes up with two outs, and he hits a line drive into the left center field gap. Tauchman, man, was he flying around the bases. He hustles in just ahead of the tag at home. What a clutch play by Brett Gardner. If you watch the replay, you will notice that Gardner was directing Tauchman of where to slide. And Gardner was telling him to slide to the outside of the plate to make sure he wouldn't get tagged. Without that, I think Tauchman goes in normal, gets tagged out. But thanks to the heads-up ability of Gardner, Tauchman's safe just by a hair, ties up the ball game. We go to the ninth inning. Now, obviously, you know, we're looking at this. Your tie, you want to just get out of here and get a win without that extra inning rule, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. But neither team's able to score in the ninth inning. We go to the 10th. Yankees appear to be out of it before a run could score. And Gleyber Torres, oh my goodness, Gleyber. Gleyber. I can't even imagine. Ground ball to Gleyber at short. Routine play. Makes a bad throw. Jay Bruce unable to hold it. Now you got to remember, Gleyber, not very good at shortstop. Jay Bruce, not an everyday first baseman. It's got to be one or the other. You need somebody to catch the ball. You need somebody to throw the ball right. I don't know what the formula is. I miss Luke Voit. I really need him back. Nonetheless, Gleyber makes a huge, I mean huge, error that costs the Yankees a run. Now, they have their backs against the wall going into the bottom half of the 10th inning. In a situation where the Yankees could have been out of the inning and had a chance to win it, they now have to play catch-up. Tyler Wade pinch runs for Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees are able to score a run on a Kyle Higashioka single to right field. It was funny. Michael Kay basically said once the ball left the bat that he was going to score. And then he's like, we're going to have to wait and see on that. Very close play at the plate. Wade just in by a hair. Yankees tie the game up at 3. The Orioles retake the lead in the top half of the 11th inning. They bunt the runner over, followed by an RBI single. Yankees unable to score in the bottom of the half inning, and that is your ball game. Now, got to give credit to the Yankees bullpen. They were fantastic. Got an inning and a third out of Nelson, nothing. An inning out of O'Day, nothing. Loaisiga, who is absolutely filthy, nothing in his inning of work. Chapman strikes out the side in his inning of work. Green ends up getting the loss. He lets up two runs, neither of which were earned. You got to remember, he was hurt by the Gleyber error in the 10th. And then started up the 11th inning. So that runner on second base is his. It's inherited to him, but it doesn't count as an earned run. And then Sessa comes in. He looked really good, too. Once Green got into a jam, he was able to get out of it. He looked really nasty in his two-thirds innings of work. So you've got to give credit to the Yankees bullpen for getting the job done. The Yankees offense, 13 hits. They seemed like they were on base all day. Had multiple guys with multiple hits. LeMahieu, Stanton, Sanchez, Urshela, Gardner, 13 total hits, like I said. It just seemed like they couldn't get the big hit at the big moment. It was frustrating. I think they put like 10-plus balls in play over 100 miles per hour. Like, that's how good the Yankees' offense was hitting the ball. Just wasn't able to capitalize and make things happen as a whole. It's an ugly loss. It's an ugly type of loss if you're a Yankees fan. First and foremost, you battle back. Everything seemed to be going in your favor, and then you get the error from Torres at short, and it's a really big momentum swing. It's a really big swing in this series and in this homestand. You could have went into Tampa riding a three-game sweep over the Orioles with a little more momentum, but now you go in with a very brutal loss, to say the least. Now, there are a couple of questions that I have, and I don't have the answers for them. How long do we last with Gleyber Torres at short? Yes, I know I'm a big proponent of him, and I thought that he can handle it, but early on, it is ugly to see him play shortstop. It really is. I don't know what the Yankees' plan's going to be. I don't know long-term how they figure this out. You know, somebody's going to be the odd man out, whether it's Luke Voit by shifting LeMahieu over to first and getting a shortstop, or you trade Gleyber. I don't know what the situation's going to be, but my patience is wearing thin with him at the position because he's costing us. He's costing the Yankees games, and it's becoming a situation where it's not justifiable anymore. He's really hurting this team, and I think that if it continues, you're going to see the Yankees kind of try to alter this as quickly as they can because I think they know it cannot be a long-term issue. They cannot afford to have Gleyber hurting them defensively. A routine play cannot be botched like that. And yes, you can make the case Bruce has to make that play. But in the meantime, Bruce is just holding the position until Voit's back. They're using somebody who's a prominent outfielder at the position. Yes, you can make the case late in games. You know, maybe you put Tyler Wade at short. Maybe you shift LeMahieu over to first and you try to salvage at least one of the two positions. But I think that the Yankees are going to have to figure out something, whether it's bringing in another infielder that can actually hit and play multiple positions and not hurt you defensively. I don't know what the right answer is, and I don't know what they're thinking long-term at the position. Yes, it's a good time to have the problem because there's so many shortstops on the open market this offseason, but it's not a problem you want to have now, especially when you're trying to win a World Series here. So, yeah, that is something that really concerns me. Jay Bruce at first base has shown some flashes, but again, he concerns me. I really can't wait for Luke Voit to be back. I think you're going to see a little bit more of LeMahieu at first in the near future. Maybe they end up bringing up Mike Ford if Bruce doesn't hit. I don't know what their plan is. I don't know what they're thinking. You know, it all remains to be seen. Now, the other question I have is what the heck is going on with Aaron Judge? Aaron Judge is not playing the third game of the series after going 5-for-8 through the first two games. Aaron Boone said, you know, we're trying to get him rest, and then all of a sudden it's the side. You know, it's sore. That was the whole situation. Now, Boone said before the game on Wednesday that Judge was available if needed, and then after the game he changed his tune. Now, we don't know what the situation is going to be against Tampa. Will Judge even play? We know that the turf monsters over there don't really favor the Yankees. Do they elect to keep him out? Maybe put him on the injured list? Who knows? But I'm starting to get a little concerned about the Yankees and their handling of injuries. Obviously, injuries are part of the game, and you understand that. You're not going to question that. But, number one, Judge is becoming injury-prone. It seems like every year there's something else. Number two, there shouldn't be wear and tear on him, especially at his age and his physique, five games into the season. Now, if there was something wrong at the end of spring training, and that's why they held him out, they should have just been up front with that, ran some tests, saw what was going on before it lingers. Don't try to baby it and sugarcoat it to please the fans. If he's hurt, run some tests. The fans would rather see him on the field than hear these nonsense injury kind of takes about him. So, you know, I don't know what the Yankees are doing, but if they're smart, send them for tests, see what's going on, and don't rush them back because why are you going to let it linger and then make it a long-term issue? We cannot afford that at this rate. And the injuries keep piling up. Obviously, they happen every year. It seems like that's all we talk about on this show is injuries and guys stepping up. But the Yankees need Aaron Judge, and obviously, they need him to stay healthy. So if you're going to be taking caution with it, see what's actually wrong and then identify how's the best way to handle the type of injury. And my final question about the series is, you know, how long is this Yankees pitching staff going to pitch this way? They're standing on their heads, doing a great job, and we all know that that was a question early on in the year. How's this Yankees pitching staff going to hold up? How are they going to be, you know, early on they've been great. Can they hold it on for 162? Only time will tell. But if they do, this Yankees team is going to be primed to win a lot of games, especially when the offense gets going. So those are my takeaways. Obviously, concerned about Judge, concerned about Glaber. It's just a lot of concern early on for just a couple of games into the season. I don't want to touch on this long, but I have to make note of it. I hate the extra inning rule, not just because the Yankees have been on the bad side of it. I think the rule is so dumb and so pointless. Rob Manfred, be better, do better, get rid of this dumb rule where runners go on second base to start extra innings. We sat through 9 innings of baseball. Let these two teams play it out, whoever the two teams are. Why are you taking the game and trying to shorten it? Let them play. The rule is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Get rid of it. We don't want it. It's sickening. We don't care you shorten up games. I will sit through 18 inning games for all I care. Get rid of that dumb rule. Sorry, I had to go on a little rant there. Now, before we wrap up today's show, we do have a trade that the Yankees have made. They have acquired Rudnick Odor from the Texas Rangers in exchange for 2 prospects, one being Josh Stowers. They also sent another outfield prospect in the deal, so 2 guys going for 1. Why is this deal weird to me? Number one, Yankees fans got all panicked. Oh, what does this mean? He only plays second base. I think it's all for depth purposes, and I think that overall, the Yankees felt that they can kind of capture lightning in a bottle with this guy. The average will never impress you. Don't look at the average numbers. That you'll be like, wow, this guy can't hit. But he does have 330 home run seasons under his belt. Maybe the Yankees think that they could fix something and can really have him take advantage of the short porch in right field. How does he factor in? I think it's a depth move. Why did the Yankees make the trade? I think the Yankees made the trade because, yes, he most likely was going to be released. However, it would have been very hard for them to convince him to come to the Bronx when other teams could offer a better opportunity. So I think that the Yankees made the trade thinking, you know what? We're going to take a chance on this guy, and it really doesn't cost us anything. Now, he has 2 years, $27 million left on his deal. It looks like the Rangers are going to cover the majority, if not all, of that deal. So it's really a low-risk, high-reward type of move for the Yankees. And, you know, I don't see why people were panicked about the move. If he's on the big league roster, maybe he plays a little second base. Maybe the Yankees try him out at third. Who knows? But I wouldn't read too much into it. It doesn't hurt to have enough depth. I think Brian Cashman was doing his due diligence and trying to see if he can capture some lightning in a bottle with a guy who has proven to have big league power over his career. And you all remember him for trying to beat up Jose Bautista at second base, you know, that whole ordeal. I think that's the only thing people really remember him for at this point. So maybe he'll make some memories as a Yankee that people can remember him for some good that he's done in the game. So before we depart, let's look at the Yankees' upcoming road trip. Starting off in Tampa Bay on Friday, Corey Kluber takes the mound against Rich Hill, 3:10 first pitch in Tampa. On Saturday, we have a 1 o'clock start. Domingo Germán looks to bounce back after a kind of rough outing on opening day. He'll be opposed by Chris Archer, who returns to the Rays after a stint with the Pirates. And the final game of the series on Sunday will also be a 1 o'clock first pitch. Jordan Montgomery looks to continue his success against Michael Wacha. The Yankees will proceed to take on Toronto in a rematch from opening weekend. This series will be in Florida. Gerrit Cole against Hyun-Jin Ryu. That's a rematch from opening day. On the 13th, which is Tuesday, 7 o'clock first pitch, Jameson Taillon takes the mound against Ross Stripling. And then on Wednesday, the final game of that series will take place at 3 o'clock. That's a really weird start. You have Kluber on the mound against TJ Zoik. So that will wrap up the Yankees' homestand. They will have an off day on that Thursday, and then they will proceed home for Friday, where they will host the Tampa Bay Rays for another 3-game set. A lot to digest on this show, but reminder, we will be here all year, 162, every series, every big news, every important detail you need to know about the New York Yankees, we are going to bring it to you. Our next episode will come after the Yankees 3-game set against the Rays, so keep an eye out for that. We'll also have a recap of the Blue Jays series and much more. Continue to follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND. My personal account at Nick Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast is available on all podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it. Our show is there available for you. Also, check out our YouTube stream by going to Delahanty Media on YouTube. Check out DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates regarding our show and all of our content from the Delahanty Media brand. And as always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon, hopefully in a couple of days. We'll have an exciting, happy podcast to talk about with a lot of Yankee wins, hopefully a lot of Yankee hits, and not a lot of Gleyber Torres errors. We'll talk to you really soon, everybody. Take care. This has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We'll talk to you very soon.